This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello, and welcome to David's Book Talk. And boy, do we have a special guest today. It's Angela Cartwright, and her new book is called Styling the Stars. These are lost treasures from the 20th Century Fox...
Archives.
Thank you. Sometimes the brain just doesn't work, you know? How are you?
That coffee. I am good. I am fine.
Well, that's good. You're always smiling. Every time I see you on TV or wherever I see you, you're always smiling. You've always seemed like such a happy person.
Well, I am a happy person. I think it helps you get through life by keeping a good thought rather than a bad one, and I believe humor is the best medicine, so...
Absolutely. You started at age 3 being an actress?
I did.
3?
I started in kind of a big way, too. I was Paul Newman's daughter in Somebody Up There Likes Me.
Oh, wow.
His first movie.
Wow. And that was what? What year was that?
Oh, I don't know. What year was that?
Somewhere in the 60s.
Long ago, you work it out. I was 3 years old, so.
Just a few years ago, right?
That's right. Not that long ago. But, I was 3, and I was his daughter. I got cast for that part, which, you know, life is so interesting if you're open to it. Who would have thought, you know, because I was born in England to English parents. And, you know, we came to America because it was my mother's dream of being in America and living by the beach. But never in their wildest dreams did they ever think that my sister and I would end up in show business.
Veronica, yeah, I still see her. I still see her in that Invasion of the Body Snatchers movie, that horrified look on her face. That scene haunts me for some reason. Isn't it amazing how little scenes like that can haunt you?
Oh, absolutely. There are different scenes that make such an impact on your brain. You just don't forget the look or how frightened you were or certain lines. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
She was in the Donald Sutherland version of Invasion, right?
She was.
Yeah
that was, they did remake it. And they remade Invasion. It was just called Invasion with Nicole Kidman, but Veronica was actually in that movie.
Really?
As someone in the waiting room where, I guess Nicole Kidman's the doctor. I did see it, but I can't remember exactly.
I do remember.
And that was kind of a cool nod to the fact, you know, fans love that stuff when, you know, the original people are in it. It's kind of like, oh my God, that's so cool.
These photos are just priceless. I mean, I'm looking through them last night and they're just amazing. I mean, to see these actors, some of them at their most beautiful. I mean, the one with Clark Gable, oh, that must have been later in his life. He doesn't look so good.
Really?
I don't know what movie that was from, but they're. I think that's Clark Gable. Yeah, it's definitely Clark
Gable. You're talking about the one in the front?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he looks good.
He looks
pretty good in his spats there.
Yeah.
Look at those shoes. You know, I was so taken with these pictures. You know, I love photography, and I was in the archives at 20th Century Fox because I was finding some behind-the-scenes pictures for the Sound of Music family scrapbook, which the 7 kids put together a couple of years ago with our own personal memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could use a certain amount of 20th Century Fox pictures. So I was kind of the likely person to go and look for those. And while I was going through those Sound of Music boxes, of which there are like 40 of them,
wow,
I came across the most wonderful wardrobe pictures. And I thought, wow, if they did this for The Sound of Music, which was in, you know, 64 that we shot it, I'm sure they have done it for so many others. So I kind of was talking to the archivist, and he said, oh, yes, we have boxes that have never been looked at through. And the light bulb just went off, and I went, wow. Because, you know, being that it's film, and I remember as a kid being on a set, and every piece of wardrobe that you put on, they took a picture of you in it. And there was this, you know, this board next to you with the scenes that that costume was worn in. And I remember that being done on every movie that I was ever on. And so I knew that if they were still around, there would be others. And, of course, these wonderful actors and actresses. And sure enough, what a treasure trove. It was a blast.
I should mention Tom McLaren. He's the one who helped you.
I was just going to say, I was able to take Tom
Tom and I
on this trip. It was like being archaeologists. You know, some of these boxes had dust all over them. We had our little white gloves on. And, you know, because I'm a photographer, I can read negatives. And some of these pictures, they were never meant to be seen by the public. And that's what makes them just so incredibly, you know, what a find.
Right, and the one from you from Sound of Music is beautiful, too. And there's so many beautiful ones in here. I'm looking at the one of Marlon Brando holding his little tiny sign up.
I know.
And you can see the look on his face. He looks very serious, like he's really into the character.
Well, you know, that's something interesting as you go through this book. You can see, you know, certain people clowning around, like this one of Robert Mitchum where he's got his eyes crossed. He's being, like, so silly.
Oh, wow.
Paul Newman was a total goofball in every picture. He was pulling some face or he was doing something. But there's something interesting as you do go through the book. You see the real star quality. You know, none of these pictures have been retouched. It's that charisma that these actors and actresses have that really shines through in these pictures. And they're just being themselves, or they're being the character, or they're larking around, or they're just bored out of their mind, you know?
Right.
It's all a part of being an actor.
I'm looking at the Sound of Music one, and I think, isn't that Heather Menzies? And she was one of the girls who later married Robert Urich. Yeah.
Yes, she did. The Nuns, I don't think those have ever been seen before. There's, you know, our wardrobe pictures. Of course, there were many because we wore many costumes. I love the one of Dan Truitt with the wardrobe guy, and he's got, like, his shadow on the backdrop. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not that attractive, the backgrounds.
Right.
In a lot of these, you see, you know, the cables, or
yes,
you see the
yes.
workers behind. They were merely meant as a tool for the wardrobe department to be able to match, you know, how high the belt was, how the tie was, you know, done, how many buttons were fastened. You know, it was a tool. And it's just, it's a riot to me. I love Chris's face in this picture. He's so serious. But there are they're just magical. I'm very pleased with the way the book came out.
Yeah, they are. And you could just look at these for, you know, over and over and over again. There are things you can just, you don't see at first, you know, and it's just amazing. Absolutely.
Well, there's a lot behind, too, that you need to look at and read the, the actual board, because the date and the scene is all on there, and sometimes there's some mistakes, like Betty Davis's name being spelled incorrectly. I thought that was rather interesting.
Wow.
And some stars, of course, are so big they don't even need a sign, like Audrey Hepburn. And then there's some interesting stuff, like the one of Judy Garland from Valley of the Dolls. You know, she was not in the final movie, but she was originally cast in it. So there's little anecdotes and little stories and, you know, some personal stuff. And Tom and I did a lot of research and found some interesting things.
And how long did it take you to put the book together total? It must have taken a long time.
It did. It took 2.5 years.
Wow.
Total. Yeah. I was so relieved to see it finally come out. And Insight did do a beautiful job of printing these pictures because they deserve to be this large. It is a large coffee table book. And I was so pleased that they made it 300 pages. Of course, we could have made it 500 pages.
Right.
You know, it was just awful what we had to cut. But it is what it is. There's some major stars and several that we lost last year, like Shirley Temple and Eleanor Parker.
There'll never be another Shirley Temple. Never. I mean, how could you ever match what she really was?
Well, she had so much to do with 20th Century Fox, too.
Yeah.
She really put it on the map at a very difficult time and made a lot of money for the movie studio.
Right.
She was just so iconic.
Right. Now, I assume growing up, you've met a lot of famous people in your life.
Yes, I have.
Now, Maureen O'Hara is still alive. She's 92.
I know. And how magnificent is it that she wrote our beautiful foreword for us? I loved what she wrote. You'll have to get the book to read it.
Yeah.
But, you know, how iconic a star is she from Miracle on 34th Street? And
right.
She is still alive. She lives, I think, in Idaho now. She was living in Ireland, but I think the weather got a little tough for her. And she puts in some of her memories. So we were so pleased to actually have her be a part of the book.
I was doing a puzzle last night, and I looked down, and it's like, co-star of June Lockhart, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, which Lost in Space star? And I'm looking and thinking, it turned out to be Lassie. Wait a minute, she had a lot of cooks. I always loved her. I mean, I know you know her really well and worked with her. But,
yeah.
But how did you survive all these years? I mean, I always talk here about these child actors who have troubled lives. Do you seem to have a seamless childhood?
Yeah, I have been very blessed. I have a very strong family base. I have two great parents still alive in their 90s. We come from strong stock, West British. I think, you know, a lot of people fall into the kind of thought that it's so glamorous, and it's hard work. It really is. It's a constant vanity kind of a business. And, I did step back when I got married and I had my kids. I just really wanted to save her family life and was able to do that and raise two fabulous kids that I adore. And I'm a grandmother now.
Oh, wow.
For a second time.
That's
April.
Great.
Oh, it's the best ever. You just get to spoil them to death and totally enjoy it. You know, I guess keeping those things in my life and being able to do that, a lot of people, everything they do nowadays is like out there. You know, just revealed where they're going, the arguments they're having and all of that. And I'm just a lot more of a private person than that. Although I must say I'm, you know, on Instagram and I dig up old pictures and put them on Facebook because it is a part of being alive in 2015, you know. But I think you can keep your personal stuff to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was it like while you were making Sound of Music, while you were making Lost in Space? You didn't have what we have today, where they follow you around, the cameramen follow you around, the tabloids are all over people. I mean, it wasn't like that back then, was it?
Well, it was in a different way. I mean, everything wasn't out there, but I must say that I could not go a lot of places without people recognizing me when Lost in Space was on.
Yeah.
That was such an iconic series, and it touched
so many people.
Yeah. That, by the way, is coming out on Blu-ray this year.
Is it really?
Later this year. Yes.
Wow.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's just amazing.
Are they going to have any like behind-the-scenes stuff for it, do you think?
Well, let's just say maybe.
Maybe. You can't say anything. Surely you can tell me.
I can't say anything.
No.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Now, do you still keep in touch with all your co-stars?
Oh, I do, yes. Actually, this weekend, I'm doing a convention at the Westin in Los Angeles, and June, Marta, Mark, and Bill, and myself, we're all going to be there.
Oh, how cool is that?
I know, and it's kind of a 50th anniversary. It's, you know, just like with the Sound of Music. When we get together, it's quite an occasion, you know, because we are living all over the world, the Sound of Music group. So it's always fun to have those reunions, and we had a blast doing Lost in Space.
Oh, I'll bet.
So it is always fun to get together.
And, you know, and that was the thing with Lost in Space. You could watch the show, and while it was serious, there was a lot of comedic elements to it. Even watching it, you could laugh out loud. I mean, some of the things the robots said were just priceless. Yeah.
I know. How iconic did those sayings become, you know? Everybody knows this does not compute.
Right, exactly.
But
And watching you and Billy Mumy go back and forth sometimes was so fun to watch. It's like that sibling rivalry that you had, you know, and you got on each other's nerves, you know, during the, I'm talking about the show itself, not in real life. I'm sure you got along well with him in real life.
But. No, but that's what makes people relate. They can, you know, go, I have an annoying brother like that, you know, or my sister's an idiot or whatever. And that's what brings people to want to follow a show like that. You know, to be, as you know, we were all supposed to be geniuses,
right.
And you know, to follow being in space on a planet as a family, unable to get off, you know, it touched a lot of people's imaginations at that time, because the space program was very young,
mm-hmm.
and people really thought, wow, in, you know, 1997 or whatever the date was, I think that was it,
mm-hmm.
The true fans would know, that we may all be living somewhere else, you know, on an Alpha Centauri or on the moon. Who knows? And it really grabbed everybody's imagination. I think that was a big, huge part of the success of the show. And then, of course, Jonathan, it was very serious the first year.
Jonathan,
but then it got to be more comedic as, you know, Jonathan kind of stepped in with this character.
Oh, my God, did he ever. I mean, I saw him and I saw him speak. I forget where I was when I saw him, but just to listen to him was amazing. I mean, what a speaker he was.
He truly was. And we used to get together every year and have a lunch.
Aww.
And he used to tell these stories. We always met at 20th Fox Studio Cafeteria in the Shirley Temple Room. And he would sit and tell these stories and these jokes, and we would all just listen and so just enjoy, you know, his whole storytelling. Something that is kind of lost today.
Right. I'm looking at that picture of Gregory Peck here. What an, is that from, what movie is that from?
Is that
from?
The one with the guy on the
yes.
suitcase trying
yes.
to reach him because he's so heavy, so tall?
Yeah.
Yes, Gregory Peck. Yes, I actually went trick-or-treating once and went to his house and he gave us apples. I remember that.
Wow. You have a good memory.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, you know what? And this one with Sidney Poitier is amazing. I mean, oh, the smile
he
has on.
Sidney Poitier in the movie Something of Value stabbed me to death.
Really?
Behind a curtain. I was only 3. I don't think you actually saw it, because in those days they left things to people's imaginations. Today they would show it. But yeah,
oh, yeah.
In that movie, Something of Value.
Now, do you go to the movies a lot yourself?
Do I enjoy movies?
Yeah, do you go to the movies a lot? I mean, I guess you get recognized even at the movie when you go to the movies.
I do love movies. I usually go during the day because I like to be swept away. So if I'm going to go to a movie and see it, like on the big screen somewhere, I like to go when there's not a whole lot of people in the audience.
Right.
Because people talk and they eat and they do, you know, whatever they do at the movies. And I just really enjoy getting swept away and getting into the story. So I do watch a lot of movies. I see all the ones that are going to be nominated and all those trying to be nominated. But I do have a big screen here at home and I watch them on that.
Oh, that's cool.
My family, which is great.
Now, is this one from Titanic? Is this Clifton Webb himself?
I'm not sure where you are.
Spotlight, Titanic, 1953. What page is this? I don't even know what page this is.
Towards the back.
Yeah.
And I didn't number the pages. Titanic, that is it?
Barbara Stanwyck.
Don't you see his name there? We did
Yeah, I'm looking.
Have everybody named, yeah.
It mentions him in the archive. I assume it's who that is. I don't know Clifton. Well, I know the name, but I can't remember what he looked like in real life. My mom would know, but she's.
Well, he would be one.
Oh no, it's Robert Wagner.
Look up on Google.
It's Robert Wagner. I didn't know that. Wow, a very, very young Robert Wagner. I didn't know he was in Titanic. Wow.
Oh yeah. Also, Robert Wagner is in, we just lost him this year, didn't we, Robert Wagner?
Oh, yeah.
No, sorry, take that back. I don't want to start a
No,
rumor.
It wasn't Robert
it
Wagner.
It was Rod Taylor.
Rod Taylor, yes.
And he was in The Birds with Veronica.
Right.
But Robert Wagner was in the first movie Veronica did, and there's a picture of Veronica there. It is called Hellraisers in the book, but it was actually released as In Love and War. And I was so excited to find her first movie picture. She was 9 years old, and she plays Robert Wagner's sister in that movie.
Wow.
And another cool thing is that 20th Fox has movies on demand now. So it's called the Mod Program.
Ooh.
And you can actually go to 20th Fox website, and you can get these old movies that haven't been released for years and years and years. And I actually did watch In Love and War, this movie, because I had never seen it before when it was first released.
Hmm.
So your mom might enjoy that. I'm
yeah.
sure she has some favorites, and they might be available.
Yeah, she's no longer with us, but she certainly enjoyed watching the old movies.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, I still have the memories. The memories are what keep you going, you know, when you can remember the wonderful times, you know. I'm looking at this Janet Leigh picture. Oh, or is it Leigh? Do I pronounce her name wrong? Was it Leigh or Leigh?
No, I think it was Leigh.
Leigh, okay.
I think it was Janet Leigh. The color ones are you talking about?
Yes.
Yes. Look at that. Now, those were shot in the actual portrait studio on the lot, which for many years there was a photography studio with the curtains behind. And, I mean, she was just stunning. The page before that, if you'll see, on the left is Richard Burton.
Oh, yeah.
And he was in the robe. And there he is standing there very stately in his robe outfit. But the one that cracks me up is the one next to it. It's Victor Mature in this kind of gladiator leather skirt and these lace-up boots. He's grinning from ear to ear. And on the board, it says, torture chamber. That's the scene.
Wow.
I find that just such an oxymoron.
Right. Now, how long
and those are all through the book.
How long did it take you to film The Sound of Music?
You know, from beginning to end, it took about a year.
Wow.
Because we did endless rehearsals for weeks and weeks before we ever even stepped onto the set. We went to Austria, and of course that Mother Nature's weather was not really in agreement with the movie studio, and we had a lot of rain, and we had a lot of missed days where we were supposed to shoot. So we ended up being in Salzburg 3 months, and then we came back, and of course we recorded the track, the soundtrack. Those are all our own voices,
mm-hmm.
and there was all the filming that we did back here. So it took about a year from beginning to end.
Wow. Now, do you still keep in contact with Julie Andrews? Do you ever see her or talk to her?
Yeah, I mean, I do see her. We certainly touch base at Christmas time.
Oh, wow.
She is lovely. She is just really a wonderful person. Last time I saw her, we were in New York for a reunion. And hopefully I'll see her this year for some kind of reunion. It is the 50th. So
wow.
I hope so, because the kids are such an important
right.
part of The Sound of Music.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's why I think a lot of the fans tune in, because they really related to one of the kids in the movie. And there are seven of us, so there's one that kind of you can relate to.
Right.
What a wonderful movie, though, to be a part of. I'm very proud of that.
And did you know how big it was going to be when you were making it? Did it seem like it was something that was going to be around for a long, long time?
Well, I had been on the Danny Thomas show for seven
right.
years,
seven
and
years.
Danny actually let me out of the last show so that I could start The Sound of Music, which he did not have to do, and I am forever grateful that he did do that.
Wow.
You know, when we were filming it, it was different than being on a television show that you did, you know, weekly in front of a live audience.
Right.
I knew that it was going to be big, but I don't think any of us realized it would be as huge as it was. And Julie was really not a star at that time because Mary Poppins had not come out yet.
Oh.
And it had just kind of hit. She was a star in the theater world, but not on the movie screen. So we didn't realize at that point who Chris Plummer was or Julie. and it kind of, you know, made stars of both of those, at least getting their name out worldwide. They certainly have followed up with amazing careers, both of them.
Absolutely. And there's one of Cary Grant. Oh, man, these pictures are just phenomenal. You just want to take them and put them on your wall, you know? I mean, you know, just have, like, posters of these people. You know, it's amazing.
I know.
Just stare at
them. I had that idea. I hope they follow through on that.
Right, and just, you know, just... who is that? It looks like Rock Hudson there. That's Rock Hudson.
Yes, there are several of Rock Hudson.
What a troubled life he must have.
He's in the snow.
Yeah, I just passed it now.
Here it is. Yes, it is Farewell to Arms.
Oh, Farewell to Arms. Wow. The Ernest Hemingway book?
Isn't he handsome?
Yeah.
What a handsome man he was.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And who is this? Yeah, you just go through all these pictures and just look and, amazing.
And, now, what's Sophia Loren there.
Are you still acting today?
At all? Not really. I'm you know, out there and available, but, you know, I've been writing these books. I have another book that's going to be coming out this year with Bill Mumy, a fantasy adventure, totally different than this.
Really?
That the two of us wrote several years ago, and we have kind of reworked it. It's a great story. So that'll be coming out this year. You know, I kind of dabble in a lot, especially art, and I have all sorts of art books that I wrote and art pieces. You know, I've been doing art for many years. I have a website, acartwrightstudio.com, for my art.
Wow, how interesting.
And angela-cartwright.com for just my showbiz trip down memory lane, if you want to see some old pictures.
You're quite a talented young lady.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, it keeps me busy. It keeps me happy. What can I say?
And these pictures keep me happy. Just looking at these things, everybody's seeing it. You know, and this book is available on Amazon. And is it available in stores, too?
Absolutely. It's available everywhere, all over the world, actually. Because, you know, these iconic people are popular everywhere. Yeah, it is available everywhere and also on Amazon. And I also sign them, and they're available on my site.
Oh,
I can personalize them if you want to give one as a gift. That's available on my site.
Now, you have a store. You still have your store?
I don't have the brick-and-mortar store.
Oh.
I did close that when I started to write my art books about hand-painted photography, and I had a lot of photographs that I had in gallery, and I was a curator for a gallery for many years, a black and white gallery.
Well, you've done a lot of things.
So I did close my store at that time. But I have things on my website.
Mm-hmm.
I do scarves and clothing and jewelry and stuff like that. And that's, you can get to all of that from my website.
Now, I should mention, this book is from Insight Editions. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier, but I should definitely mention them, because they gave me the privilege to talk to you, which is just amazing. I mean, it's just amazing to hear your voice, because I'm instantly transported back to Lost in Space. Hearing your voice again is amazing. It's just like it's a memory from the past, you know? And it's just, we all have these memories from childhood. What are some of your big memories from childhood? You must have a lot of them. Besides The Sound of Music, we already talked about, and Lost in Space, which were huge, but and Make Room for Daddy. But you must have a lot of memories.
Yeah, they just, you know, it just made up my life. So I do have lots of memories. I know on Danny Thomas, we had such iconic people that were on that show every week. It wasn't until I was much older, because I started on the Danny Thomas Show when I was 4, and it went for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I was really an adult that I realized that I had worked with some of the most iconic people ever.
What is it like to watch? Do you have all the shows on? Are you able to watch them all on DVD, the Make Room for Daddy ones?
Well, it actually is on the air right now. I think it's on twice a day.
Really?
And I have recorded several of them and kept some of the ones that I really remember, the special ones.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, don't call my parents at 3 o'clock because they're watching the show.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And for them, imagine, because my mother, you know, was always there with me. I had to have
what
a guardian.
Thrill. What a thrill.
As a child. And so for her, it would just bring back such memories. She used to sit in the audience and watch the shows. So that's kind of kept that show alive. You know, Danny was such a big talent, and he really started the beginnings of the sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, because he was on the air for 11 years, and I'm actually Marjorie Lord's daughter in the show, but it had been on the air, I think, 5 years, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. No, it had been on 4 years mm-hmm. with Gene Hagen.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was without her. I guess she left the show. And then they had him remarry. And he remarried Marjorie Lord, and I was Marjorie's daughter.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, that's a Trivial Pursuit question.
There you go.
Yeah. Yep, now you'll know the answer.
I know that MeTV shows lost its face on Saturday nights, where I am anyway.
Right, and, right. Oh, there's so many people that watch that. And they follow me on Facebook, and they're like, they just know everything. They know so much more about the show than I know.
Now, if you went out right now and walked down the street, would you get recognized a lot?
Well, a few years have passed. I certainly, you know, I guess a face is kind of the same.
Right.
Or people will, I do get recognized, but I am able to go out and not, you know, have people running after me or anything like
right.
that. Believe me, I'm not, you know,
I love
Beyonce
that.
Or something.
What I hate is like the National Enquirer goes around looking, getting these really old people that have aged very badly, and they put them in the magazine. And I always think, oh, what a horrible thing to do to people.
And well, yes, and let me tell you something. Anybody can look awful with bad lighting.
Yeah.
It's all about the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can, you know, it's more inner beauty. And what really bothers me about that whole thing is, why would you try to make someone look as bad as they possibly could? You know, there's a magic to show business, and it's just so sad to me that a lot of that is lost. You know, they want to dig for the story that's, you know, really awful. I find that a form of bullying, which I cannot tolerate.
Well, these pictures are from the day when there were so many glamorous movie stars. There aren't as many to me anymore. I mean, I think of Meryl Streep when I think of glamour nowadays, and she's just iconic. I mean, the performances, she's amazing.
I know. She's amazing. She is an absolutely amazing person who can just wear these different roles. Every word she speaks has meaning. I find her to be quite phenomenal.
I mean, one in a million. You'll never. I mean, it's hard to find anybody that lives up to what she does. And I know she's just the one first one I think of. But
there is something you have to remember. There are probably a lot of talented people out there that haven't had the chance to show that they could be that phenomenal.
Right.
You know, there is an element of luck to show business. You have to be in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have visionary people that run studios, and you have to have people that tune in to what the world really wants, what entertainment really wants.
Now, when you were doing Sound of Music, I think you talking about this in the book, you were only allowed to work 3 hours a day, was it 3 or 4 hours a day?
In school.
Yeah, you had school and then...
No, we could work more.
Oh, you could work
more. We could be on the set 9 hours.
Oh, you could.
An hour for lunch and 3 hours for schooling.
Oh, I see. Okay. But was it the same thing on Lost in Space?
Well, it was the same thing if you were a child on any production.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get your schooling in. So it wasn't 3 hours straight, though. You could go to school, and then you had to be in there a minimum of 20 minutes. But then they would pull you out, and you'd do a scene, and then you would go back to school and, you know, do your geography, and then you would be pulled out, and all of a sudden you were fighting an alien. You know, it took a tremendous amount of discipline.
It sounds funny, but that's really the way it was for you.
It was. It was intense. And the tutoring, you know, I always wondered, you know, how good is this schooling? But because it's one-on-one, and, you know, you had to get a certain amount of work done that was required, the schooling was quite good. What you missed out on which I think has really hurt a lot of people in show business, was the camaraderie of teamwork or being in a classroom together. But, you know, it could be a lonely business if you were on a show by yourself.
I bet. Filming a typical Lost in Space episode, how long did that take? Was that like a week? In the 90 nowadays, they
took. I think it was 7 days, if I'm not mistaken. So it would run over, after the weekend. Mm. Like you would, start Monday. But see, a show like Lost in Space was actually shot. You know, it wasn't a live show like Danny Thomas was that we did in front of a live audience,
right,
which was 4 days. You know, you'd read the script Monday, Tuesday would be blocking, Wednesday would be with the cameras and a run-through, and then Thursday you'd come in and shoot the show live. You know, that's pretty grueling.
Oh, yeah.
For Lost in Space, you would just come in and you would work all day long with, whatever the scenes were, and they'd have a certain amount of pages that they wanted to cover. So that was kind of different because it wasn't in front of a live audience. But it took about 7 days to shoot each episode. But those were the days when they didn't just do like 8 episodes. I mean, today I'm like, what? That show's not on right now? Oh, they did 8 episodes. That was a year. I mean, these were the years we did 26 episodes a year.
And you
a lot of shows.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's why, like, the DVDs for each season are so full, because there's so many shows for each season.
And, with Lost in Space, the music was such a big part of the show. I love listening to the music. I mean, I could just literally sit and listen to the music, because it was just...
who did that music, right?
No.
John Williams.
It was John Williams?
Wow. Well, he was Johnny Williams at the time.
Johnny Williams.
It was one of his very first...
Well, no wonder I love the music so much.
I didn't realize that. He was so amazing. I love his music. But you can play that. Everybody knows that theme song. It is, there's a star for you in music. I mean, there's something that goes that extra step, that extra level. Mm-hmm. And that music for that show is iconic.
Now, when did you get into photography? I mean, were you interested in photography even as a child, or when did it start?
Yeah, my dad used to be into photography. He had a dark room, and he had, Pentax cameras, and he used to take my pictures because I wanted to be, in fashion and fashion model. So he was my Avedon, and I really loved Gene Shrimpton and Twiggy, and so we, did a lot of photographs of me modeling. And I always was fascinated by it, so I have been interested in photography since I was really young. And he taught me how to develop pictures, and I just really loved it, and lighting and all of that. And then I kind of went from the studio look into outdoor, backlit, soft, kind of, and I used to shoot children with a camera.
And, exactly.
Yes, and I used to do a lot of Christmas cards and pictures for different families and stuff. So I was in photography for a while, and then I went into hand painting photography, and that's when my art kind of stepped in. And I would shoot black and white photographs. They would be hand trayed and hand developed, and then I would hand paint them, and those were hanging in the gallery for years, and that's the gallery that I curated. It was a black and white photo gallery,
mm-hmm.
and I used to hand paint my pictures.
Yeah.
So I did that for several years, and I used to have my studio there.
That's really cool. I mean, you've gotten involved in a lot of different things, and it seems like everybody that was on Lost in Space has turned out pretty well. I mean, Billy Mummy's, I know he's busy, and everybody seems to have turned out okay. You hear these horror
Bill
stories.
Yeah, Bill is a very talented musician. He is just amazing how prolific he is, and his CDs, I don't know if you've ever heard them, they are awesome, and he's such a great writer. He has a great mind. We have a lot of fun together.
I bet.
We had a lot of fun writing this book.
I bet.
That will be coming out this year.
Who's going to publish it? Do you know yet?
You know what? I don't know the name of the company, but we've been talking with someone, so it's not totally settled. But I guarantee you, I'll email you and let you know when that's available.
Oh, that would be wonderful, wonderful. I mean, just hearing your voice and knowing that, you know, that everybody's still there. And
about doing an audio version, too. Do you think that'd be popular?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, is Mark Goddard still teaching? I know he was teaching.
You know, I think he's retired now.
Is he retired? Okay.
He was teaching, and he was hilarious. He's a very funny guy.
Is June still acting today?
I think she is. I just saw June. We just did Good Day LA together.
Oh,
she
really?
She is amazing. And she is sharp as a tack. She looks like she's in her 60s. She's just amazing. And she was such a wordsmith. She used to play Scrabble and...
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Crossword puzzles. Very sharp lady. And it certainly worked because she is just so active.
So tell me what your day is like when you wake up in the morning. I'm curious what you do during the day. I mean, you have your kids are I don't know how old your kids are. They're fully grown.
They're old now.
Yeah.
I'm an empty nester.
Yeah.
My husband and I, we live in our home, but
are you out taking
my grandson at least?
Are you out taking pictures a lot?
You know, I do take pictures a lot still. I do even take iPhone pictures. I enjoy seeing the world through a lens and touching some of the simple things in life. It also helps you, I think, stay in tune with what's really important, like when your garden blooms.
Oh, yeah. And, do you have a big garden?
I do. I love flowers. Yes, I
That's
I
one thing I'm passionate. I'm really passionate about flowers. You'll have to send me a picture of your garden. I would love to see it. Oh.
I will. Well, it's just kind of starting. It's a little confused because we don't have cold weather like you do back there, but we had some rain, and oh, my God, my camellias were like, oh, yeah. Okay, let's start to bloom now. It's cold enough.
Now
they're kind of stopped.
Do you live near any famous people where you are? Right.
You know what? There's a lot of people around this area because it's near the studios. I live in the valley on this side of the hill, the valley side of the hill. But, you know, I don't count my friends by how famous they are.
That's true.
I have a wonderful group of friends, so I'm very blessed in that. And that's a job in itself. You need to keep those friendships going.
I guess when you are famous, you don't think of other people's fame. Everybody's like, you know, just normal to you. But I mean, to me, if I walked down the street and saw somebody I recognize, that would thrill me. That's just the way I am. I've always been like that. But it's just such a thrill. It's such a thrill to talk to you about this book.
If I see somebody I recognize, I get a thrill too. If I really like them and admire them,
that's right.
It's not like any of that. We're just people.
That's right. Well,
I guess
I figure because you've met so many famous people in your life. I mean, you've met so many of them that after a while, I guess it's become second nature. There isn't, you know, with me, I guess it's more of a thrill because I don't get a chance to meet a lot of famous people here in Pennsylvania.
I don't know. I think you admire somebody, then you always kind of get that kind of little rush, you know, of excitement. If it's somebody that you really admire or like listening to their music or seeing their movie or whatever.
Right. Well, that's good.
Everybody's the same.
It's almost like we're all little kids inside, you know, and that's the wonderful thing about living, you know, when you're in your 50s and 60s like I am, you still have these childish things that you like to do, you know, things that thrill you.
I think it's when you lose that, then your life becomes pretty old.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Well, the book, again, is called Styling the Stars. We've been talking to Angela Cartwright about it, and it's what a wonderful book. I mean, everybody's just going to flip through these pages over and over and over again. Thank you for doing all this. I mean, will there be a second book about it with more pictures, do you think?
Well, there certainly is enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think
there's been no talk about it, but, you know, there's like 8 million pictures in that archive. You know, thank God 20th had the foresight to actually archive them. Because I tell the story in the beginning of the book. They were out and about, and, you know, they didn't know what to do with them. So thank goodness now that they archive these pictures, because you can't get those back, you know, from these days. So it's kind of cool to have this book that kind of captures the time that was so special to people.
Right.
And you actually see these people as they really were.
Well, you're special to us. You always will be. I mean, that's you're part of my childhood. You're part of a lot of people's childhood. And that's got to be a great feeling for you to know that people love you because they remember you in such a loving way, you know?
Thank you. That kind of makes my day.
It is. I mean, and that laugh, I mean, it still gives me goose pimples to hear it because I used to watch it every day. I mean, it's like to come home and just be thrilled to watch Lost in Space. And it was just such a big part of who I was back then, you know? And that comfort of knowing that even if you were having a bad day, you could still go and watch your favorite show and have a great time watching it.
Well, thanks for being such a fan.
Yeah.
Great.
We've been talking to Angel Cartwright, and we have to say goodbye now. I'm sure you're a busy woman, have things to do. So thank you for doing this. This has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.